It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mr. Mayor. Are you there, Mr. Mayor? Are you there, Mr. Mayor? We had a bit of an issue there. That's a technical issue there. Hopefully we've still... Has this really pushed that in a bit further or something? Are you there, Mr. Mayor?
I'm here.
There we go, Bob.
Hey, that's good. I was a bit worried there. You lost me.
If you could have seen what was happening in the last minute and a half, you would have thought, man, that radio station needs some more money.
As long as it's not coming from council, it's okay.
Okay. Well, it was undoing screws or the spoon. Sarah trying to hold a bit of the desk together with a hair tie, and I'm not lying. So we did it, though. Mr. Mayor Phil Goff, welcome to The Breakfast Show. Thank you very much. We speak to you this time every week. What's number one on your agenda this week? What's been the hot topic for you? I mean, apart from where you used to be a member of the Labor Party, didn't you? Now the Labor Party's trying to upset the whole world, trying to upset our neighbours and all sort of stuff. But we won't talk about that. Let's talk about Auckland City. Let's talk about Tamaki Makaurau, man. It's your city. It's the super city. It's our city. What's going on, brother?
Yeah. Well, there's lots of things going on. I just got to say, I agree with Peter Dunn on that. He said it was a load of nonsense, what they were saying in Australia. The story in Australia was came out of the Australian media. So, but it's a crazy situation over there. What have they had... two or three MPs had to resign from Parliament because they were New Zealand, Canadian or Italian residents or British, and now the Deputy Prime Minister, whose father happened to be a New Zealander, and that automatically gives him dual citizenship, and then that makes him ineligible to be in Parliament. But, you know, I think that's a problem that the Aussies have got to sort out. Their own rules, nothing to do with us.
You've been involved in an international capacity when you're in government and a member of the opposition, eh? So, it's not a very polite way to put that, weren't you?
Yeah. Much better grammar.
Yeah. Do you see this as being it seems like a really bizarre concept that they won't even, in a country like Australia, which is essentially, apart from the extermination of most of the indigenous race there, it's a country that's been rebuilt basically by immigrants very recently. It's a strange. What's the rule? What's the point behind that rule, do you think? Just before we get into talking about Auckland.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that, there ought to be no problem being a member of Parliament and being able to be proud of your heritage if you happen to have dual citizenship. But that's an issue for them to sort out. I think what most New Zealanders think of, you know, we've got a pretty close historical relationship with Australia, but we wonder why they keep treating us so badly. You know, an Aussie comes over here, and within 2 years they're entitled to vote here. They're entitled to have all the same rights as anybody else that's paying taxation. In Australia, you've still got the rule whereby you can be there 20 or 30 years as a New Zealander on a special category visa, but you're not entitled to all of those things, despite the fact you've been paying tax, and they keep chiselling back what Kiwis are entitled to. So you might be a kid born in New Zealand, but growing up in Australia, you're going to have to pay for your own tertiary education now. And
it's
surely,
amazing,
you know, these are kids, they don't think of themselves as New Zealanders. They're brought up in Australia. They speak with an Aussie accent. That's who they identify with. But because of their heritage, they are subject to discriminatory rules. I think the Aussies have got that totally wrong. They've done pretty well out of New Zealand migration. You know, some of the best and the brightest of Kiwis have gone over there. And yet we keep getting belted by them. It doesn't seem to me to be a fair go.
All right, Phil, I'm going to start off with a text. Can you ask Phil, the Mayor of Auckland, why they weren't able to place the new Cat's Eye road markers in a straight line on the southern motorway? It's like they were drunk. Well, we laugh now,
okay,
but until someone gets hurt in an accident, Phil, you know?
Yeah. Haven't noticed it myself when I travelled down the motorway, but I've got to say that a state highway is operated by the New Zealand Transport Agency,
right,
which is a central government agency.
Wash
so there's my
there.
Alibi, you know,
right, yeah.
Really, really clear. Look, if there is a problem with that, just to whoever's noticed it, put a call into the New Zealand Transport Agency, because obviously they should have been put in straight. They've got laser beams and all sorts of things that they work off now. There's no excuse for a shoddy job if that's what's happened.
All right, Phil, the Labor's water tax, we learned a wee bit about that last week. I don't think you and I have talked about that. What's the, I mean, we talked a lot about water since we started talking on the show, haven't we?
Yeah.
How does it affect your plans, or the council's plans, to improve the water and water treatment in Auckland? According to the policy that they've
I don't think it does substantially. It will have some impact on farmers in the Rodney and in the Franklin wards of the city. I've got to be careful I don't get into the central government political fray. I'm representing local government and I'm working with whoever is government of the day. But I don't have any suggestion that this is going to have a dramatic effect on Auckland at all. We've got big challenges in water. Our big challenges, let me just touch on them. I think the biggest challenge is that for about 90, 100 years, whenever it rains heavily, where the stormwater goes into our wastewater lines, they overflow out into our harbours, and that's not good. And we need to address that, and the dollar sum on addressing that is pretty substantial, but largely we'll be doing it through the development of what's called big interceptors. These are the big tunnels that take our wastewater away and through to Mangere. We're doing a little bit of separation of the old areas of the city where the stormwater from your roof goes straight into your sewer line. The problem with that is that, A, it's incredibly expensive. I think I've been given a figure of $750 million to separate it. And secondly, we'd have to dig up just about every road in the central city area, and that would cause massive disruption on top of what we're already doing with the City Rail Link and various other things. So what they're trying to do with the central interceptor is have a tunnel big enough to stop at the moment in the areas that it covers, it would stop once it's built 80% of the wastewater overflows. But we do have a problem.
Are we keeping an eye on business and commercial wastewater and stuff like that to make sure that, I mean, who's in charge of making sure that everyone does performs or manage, discharges their wastewater according to the correct protocol?
Yeah, Watercare does that, and from time to time you get incidents of people putting down into their sewers toxic substances, might be petrol or it might be some other form of industrial waste.
Because it can be quite expensive to...
It's not only expensive...
Discard that otherwise, can it?
Yeah,
whoops, a daisy. Ours went down the drain. Oh,
yeah, and unfortunately, it's hardly ever an accident, and it's most often deliberate. And there are huge sanctions against that, and there are usually ways of being able to track back where it has come from. Not always, but quite often. And where we find that people are doing that deliberately, you want to throw the book at them because that's our environment that they are destroying through their selfishness. So no time for people who deliberately do that. And it's not just industries. In the old days when a lot of people used to change their own oil, slip the oil into the sewage. No way.
No way, pal.
Two words, easy to understand.
Bugger off.
And we should hammer anybody found deliberately doing that because the cost of that is enormous. People should be recycling their waste, not dumping it down their sewer lines.
All right, a lot of pressure in Auckland to hike up the rates for all different sorts of reasons. You are looking at another revenue stream to pay for sports facilities. What's going on there?
Sports facilities? Not quite sure what that... I'm with you. Yeah, there was... They were looking at, in terms of the range of sporting facilities we provide, there are anomalies that in some sports you're paying for the facilities, in some sports you're not. Yeah. And overall, I think, God, I saw the figures, I'm just trying to remember them.
I've got an article here I can go over.
The amount of contribution that sports make directly to the cost of facilities is much smaller in Auckland than it is almost anywhere else in the country.
Why is that?
But it's just other councils have sought to get revenue out of the facilities they provide. We're pretty reluctant to do that if it either discourages people from participating in sports,
yeah,
or it works negatively against people that are low income and for whom any fee would be a barrier to their participation. So for me, those things are bottom line. But, it is an expensive game, maintaining all the facilities. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars on doing that. And so council is, of course, always looking at, are there fair ways in which people that are enjoying facilities can contribute towards it? But it's at the exploratory and consultation stage, and I just want to repeat, we're not about to do damage to participation in sports, and we're not about to do damage to people for whom paying some fee would impact on their ability to participate.
Do you there's a new figures came out, there's something like 4,700,000 people in news, 4.7 billion people now, a massive increase in the amount of people in the country at the moment. How many of those people do you think are in Auckland?
The increase. I don't think we're talking about billions, Mikey.
50 zillion?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, look, I was looking at the figures the other day.
It was a surprising increase, wasn't it?
Yeah, of the increase, of the 45,000 increase in Auckland, I think I saw the figure that about just over two-thirds of that comes from migration to Auckland, and about a third is natural growth. So, you know, that growth is good, but we've got to make sure that our infrastructure keeps up with the growth. Otherwise, we end up with more housing shortages, more unaffordability, more congestion on the roads. So my argument to government's always been very simple. You want our city to grow. Yes, we are an international city. Yes, we are New Zealand's globally competitive city. But don't keep giving us more people and more demands on infrastructure without giving us the means to provide the infrastructure so we can protect our quality of life. And that's really important. That's a bottom line.
If there's one thing that every citizen of this fair super city of ours could do between now and when we speak to you next week, Phil, what would you like them to do, apart from pay you more money for rates?
The one thing that I really, you know, I'm not sure that there is just one thing. One, look after and sustain your environment. You know, I was wandering down through the city the other day and
just wandering, you know, about just a mayor by himself
just
wandering
as
about.
You do. And you know, the chewing gum was sticking on my shoes and the litter was on the roads, and I thought, hey, that's not necessary. You have a pride in your city, you know, love your city. Look after your environment, sustain it. The other thing I think we need to do is, you know, try and work, you know, you can create a physical city, but what you want to do is create an inclusive city, a community, rather than just a set of buildings. And it's about looking after each other and having, you know, having concern for each other and wanting everybody to get a fair go. Those are the two things that jump to me straight out that we can do in our day-to-day lives, as well as what council and government need to do for the city and for the country as a whole.
You know, you might just be reading off a script, Mr. Mayor, but I think you're a pretty good dude. I'll speak to you again this time next week, hey?
Okay, Mikey. Good to talk to you, mate. Take care. Bye.
Thanks very much. He's not reading off a script, though, is he?
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.